Thank you, Catherine. Can you outline what is an independent public school?
Yes. Well, an independent public school, which is IPS, is still a public state school. It's not a private school, but it has a few different things. It has a PNC and a school council, which advise the principal, and it also has more autonomy around being able to manage staff and employment and funding. It still reports to the Education Queensland, but directly to the Director General's office rather than through regional offices. There is flexibility around staffing, but we are still Australian curriculum compliant, and it's not about choosing your own adventure. Our current systems that are in place, current stable staff, current permanency, all remain the same. And the name of the school still remains the same, which has been a question that many people have asked.
Thanks for that, Catherine. Now, the benefits for Humpy Bong State School, what do you see are the main benefits?
Well, there is an extra $50,000 a year that goes into the school budget, and that is directed towards being able to be a bit more flexible with staffing, but also to implement some of the innovative and visionary ideas that come up or are built into the strategic plan. So with current funding, we are budgeted according to each of particular criterias and cost centres, so we can't actually be flexible around what that looks like, whereas this way we can. We can also select staff who are suitably qualified to match specific needs within the school, and that those people also, when they say yes, I want to join your staff, agree to align to the school's vision and commit to our purpose and vision.
How has the school community responded to your efforts of becoming an independent public school?
Well, when we first floated the idea at the beginning of the year with the PNC, a lot of those PNC members had had experiences in other schools or other states around the idea and were very keen to pursue it. So it's actually been driven by the PNC to invite other members of schools and school councils to forums initially. Then we've had quite a significant number of business people and community members, politicians, and already people we're working with who have come into the school who've been part of different forums. We've worked with staff around the strategic direction, and we've had a lot of feedback from both parents and the wider community to say that they can only see the benefits, and no one's actually said that we don't know why schools wouldn't do this.
And what is Humpy Bong State School's next step, Catherine?
Well, we've been working really hard on a vision. Our motto is Sea of Learning. So we've actually created an overall picture around Sea of Learning for the future, where we've taken a statement that the Turnbull government made around being committed to improving teaching and learning through digital literacy in schools. And with that and some other research based on Fullan and Quinn, we've come up with some skills that will give us, that will give students the necessary skills to enter whatever career it might look like for the future. And we're trying to embed those within three different areas across the school. So one of the things is we are going to dive into a digital future where we're going to offer opportunities for children to be creative and innovative and find solutions to real world and everyday problems, and embracing the automation, communication and collaboration. Part of the digital technologies curriculum, we're already a launch school in our region for that, so we'll be embracing the coding and robotics. Another strategy is to cross the bridge into future experiences, and this is where we've understand that a lot of our kids don't have a lot of experiences and therefore don't have a knowledge of the world and what is out there. So providing them with imagination, innovation and opportunity of different ways of living and different worlds that exist, and looking at sustainability for the environment, as well as providing them with experiences that are over the bridge, going into the city, going on camps, going on excursions, and also around challenging generational poverty. And the third area that we want to look at is navigate the future environment. And this is around developing socially well-rounded students who have resilience and looking at a moral purpose. So the giving rather than receiving, and the teamwork rather than the me generation. And finding ways and strategies that we can provide children to cope with a future world so that they can reduce anxiety, cope with change, and build resilience and healthy lifestyles. So all in total, it's a big picture, and underpinning that are the skills, because we don't know what the future holds, the skills of financial and digital literacy, teamwork, creativity, critical thinking, communication and collaboration.
Now, if we can just run through the process for the application to be an IPS school. Catherine, where are you at the moment and what's looking forward in the next couple of months?
Okay, so we have done all of our consultation, which is required, and that is has to be written into the IPS application. Applications have opened this week and close on the 11th of November, and we have to justify, apart from meeting criteria, that we have the capacity to be innovative and the capacity to invite other schools to learn from us as part of that extra $50,000 carrot. And if we do meet criteria, and there are only 70 places available, and this is the final round for ever and ever, then the announcement will be made for the beginning of December, so that all schools would then start in January next year.
So tell us, what's a great teaching tip for parents?
Well, Wayne, one thing that I've actually put in the newsletter for this week around a teaching tip is around developing children's vocabulary. And I believe that kids can gain, and parents and families, so much out of playing board games in particular, because you learn to take turns, you learn to share, you learn to win, you learn to lose gracefully. But also, one of the things that is really interesting is around developing vocabulary, and that's where kids fall down a lot. And if you play a game like Pictionary, and you can modify it in any shape or form, or 20 questions, then you can actually develop children's vocabulary. Not only do they have to understand the word, but then they have to draw it or write it in a different way. People are guessing, and if it's a new word that they don't know, then they learn that word, but they also learn other words that people try to guess of what you're drawing, and they go, oh, what's that? Because it didn't look exactly as you chose it to look. But it's a fun way, it's engaging, and you don't have to be good drawers, because I'm not a good drawer, but it is really fun for some kids to be able to do that in that environment. The other thing is 20 questions that you can pick an item, and they've got to ask lots of questions to get to the point of what it is that you have chosen as your item. And that's another fun, simple, engaging way. You can be driving in the car and have a 20 question game, and makes for an interesting road trip rather than the iPads and the digital devices.